You see this, the black and white squares on the uniform of the police all over the world, in Britain, Australia, America. Again, Freemasonry imagery, secret society imagery. And I want to emphasize this. I'm not saying for a minute that Freemasons in any way influence the police force. I think it's just an ugly rumor myself, you know. So I'm going to finish this part of the talk by bringing in now an element which has come more and more into my research in recent times. These three things are all connected. When I started following these bloodlines, again, these ceremonies and rituals and blood drinking went with them wherever I went. And the more that time has passed, the more I've begun to understand how important this stuff is to these reptilian bloodlines. And I'm just passing on, I haven't been there, I haven't seen it, but I'm just passing on what I'm told by people who've been on the inside and seen it. That for some reason, these hybrid bloodlines need to drink mammal blood, human blood, particularly blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, because there's something in that bloodstream that makes it more effective than any other, to hold those mammalian codes open so they don't manifest in their true form. And the satanic imagery is all over the place if you know what to look for. Well, this is one kind of example. When they wanted to build a statue to George Washington, the first president of the United States, I mean, there's someone in America to build a bloody statue. I mean, I feel it in me water. They must be somewhere. But no, they asked some guy in bloody northern Italy to do it, Florence, you know. So anyway, when George arrives on the ship and they unveil him, I mean, people are aghast, like, you know. I mean, their flabber's never been so ghastly, as they say. They put George, he put his arm in the air and his arm down here, and they cover his Bill Clinton's with a piece of cloth, and he's naked from the waist up. Now, this is our esteemed leader, our first president. What are you doing? And it's like the Black Pyramid in Paris. You don't know what they're doing until you have a look at what the Templars used to use and what the Satanists use as the symbol of the negative force. From there to there. Naked from the waist up, that arm down, Bill Clinton's covered with a piece of cloth. This is the classic negative force symbol that comes up again and again. And here's another example. This is the satanic sign for Satan, or whatever name you want to put to that negative malevolent force. Very simple. This is another example of it. That is what the sign for Satan is in Satanism. Well, how about that then? That's what he did during his inauguration speech, or just after it, when he was first made president. And the number of times, it is extraordinary, you see world leaders at speeches, particularly when they get a great opportunity, when the applause starts, doing that. It's extraordinary, because that means something. And when you go through, somebody went through his speech, one of his inauguration speeches, and the symbolism in it is just extraordinary, when you know in detail what to look for. Oh, Henry looks pissed, doesn't he? This is Doris Duke, a tobacco heiress, American Tobacco. She was massively into Satanism. Seems to have done her good, doesn't it, really? I mean, he looks pissed off with being with her, and she looks really pig sick with being with him, really. But this lady was actually ritually sacrificed, according to sources, number of sources that I've come across, because they, at the end of their lives, they tend to do that to each other. It's almost, again, part of their ritual. It's a very, very strange world that's controlling us. Anton LaVey, his Church of Satan, had a number of famous people involved in it. This is Jane Mansfield, who was a high priestess of the Church of Satan. And an offshoot of the Church of Satan of LaVey was an organization called the Temple of Set that was headed by a guy called Michael Aquino, who is very much named by mind control victims as being massively involved in the mind control operations and the trauma-based mind control, which I'll come to in a second. I think he's died recently. The temple of Set came to light when it was exposed that Michael Aquino was the head of the temple of Set while being one of the leading lights in the American military's psychological warfare department. And when this was exposed, even in the mainstream media, the authorities said a person's religion is his own business. Well, it might be, but if it involves sacrificing children, I think we ought to have a word in here somewhere. But that's the way that it was. It was received and explained away in that pathetic fashion. This guy is Aleister Crowley. Again, a man who very much was involved with Churchill and the Nazis, and is like a hero in the satanic movement. And he actually wrote books in which he explained how to sacrifice children and the best ones to pick. And people say, oh, it doesn't go on, it's rubbish. Tell the kids that, for goodness sake. We've got to get out of denial, and then they might get out of servitude and torture and horror. This is Winston Churchill, who came to be a kind of classic Christian person, and there he is being inaugurated into the Druid religion. That's not to knock the Druid religion. Just because you're a Druid doesn't mean you go around sacrificing people. I know lots of Druids in England. They're really, really nice people. What I'm saying is, while they claim to be Christians because it's good for the CV and it's good for the kind of image, they're actually into a very different view of life. This guy, my goodness me, this guy is Ted Heath. He's named, as I think I mentioned in the talk earlier this morning, as a shapeshifter and a conductor of satanic ritual. And I named him in The Biggest Secret, which came out in February in England, and February 1999, and a journalist went to him, read from the book what I'd said, and this guy's got a lot of money. He could have shut that book down if he was prepared to go to court and let me say my piece. All he said was, I think David Icke must be ill. And that was it. This guy is called Peter Mandelson. He's a guy who is very much involved in the manipulation at the heart of the present Tony Blair government. He's the present guy in charge of the negotiations in Northern Ireland between the various factions. And he's known by his colleagues, and this has been in the media, of course, as the Prince of Darkness. From my understanding, whoever coined that phrase was very inspired indeed and possibly psychic. Now, these two people are apparently on opposite sides of British politics. They are sitting there together at a convention agreeing that Britain should go further and further and further into the European Union and lose more and more of its national decision-making. Because they are two sides of the same force, and the same will be going on in Canada. The Mormons, again, this is the temple in Salt Lake City. The Mormons are a front, and most of them involved in the Mormon religion, like Freemasons, are innocent of this knowledge, but it is a front for satanic activity, child abuse, and child sacrifice. And if you go into my website, like I say, you'll see people from the inside of the Mormon church exposing that, not just me. We need to get out of denial of this. 666, from the number of the beast in Revelations in the Bible, is a code which is an obvious code for Satanism. It comes up again and again and again. So you have it there, and you see it in advertising a lot. Here's 666, look, in this particular advertising for, I don't know what it is, advertising something. And in this cold preparation is 666. Now, this is someone the audience here will know, Pierre Trudeau. Pierre Trudeau, on his car, he has 666. And according to a friend of mine in Vancouver, you can write me if I'm wrong, as to say, he was the man who put 666 into the federal government telephone numbers. Now, isn't it strange, therefore, a strange coincidence, that people like Kathy O'Brien name him as a pedophile, a child abuser, and a child sexual abuser? And he's involved in this same stuff. And she names other people as well, including Brian Mulroney. But of course, we mustn't talk about that on the radio, because we have regulations, you see. The game is broomsticks. It's satanic knowledge. It's basically esoteric knowledge, which can be used positively as well as malevolently, used malevolently to control instead of being used to set free. And it's just the same knowledge which they use to control us that they want us not to know about. And like I say earlier, this lady was ritually murdered by the very same codes, by the very same symbolism and ritual that you see all the time. And I've talked a bit about, you know, some of the symbolism surrounding it. Just a couple of three-dimensional things people don't know, because it's not appeared very much in the media, if at all. People still think that, or the official line is still that this was an accident. What a strange coincidence. There are 17 traffic cameras between the Ritz Hotel and the Pont d'Alma Tunnel. They've never gone down before. All 17 went down while that Mercedes was going from the Ritz Hotel to the tunnel. And if they hadn't have gone down, there would be no mystery about what happened because everything would be on video. At the very same time those 17 traffic cameras went down, all the police frequencies in central Paris went down also. And that's just some of the evidence that was no accident, quite obviously. But the symbolism surrounding the legends and ritual of the goddess Diana, surrounding her murder, are unbelievable. One of the other things is, one of the things that keeps coming up in the ancient legends of Diana are lakes, islands, etc. And what they've done is buried her on an island in a lake. And when you read The Biggest Secret, 60 pages on this ritual murder, the symbolism is just beyond belief. What's now starting to come to light is the scale of child abuse in the world. I've been talking about this for years, and many, many other people have too, trying to get a voice out there amid the sea of denial and suppression. In Britain now, it's starting to unfold. Some of the walls are starting to come down because the scale is so vast. There are many, many police investigations now investigating the way that phenomenal numbers of children have been abused systematically and sexually abused, and also satanically abused in the rituals and stuff. And the abuse is suppressed through a classic pyramid system. When this system comes down and is dismantled, the scale at which the children of this world of all races, Credo Mutwa talks in detail about exactly the same in Black Africa, the scale at which our children have been abused, sexually abused, violently abused, and killed in satanic ritual is just going to blow our minds, including me, because the scale I've established is nothing like the one yet that I'm going to. And the way it works is the classic situation. The Illuminati, through their various levels, make sure that they put their people in the key positions of power in these key areas which allow the abuse to happen, then fail to investigate it, can, even if it comes to court, then destroy the case so that the lid is kept on the unbelievable scale at which this is going on. On my website, I got approached by the parents of a lad called Zach, a little five-year-old kid here, who was in North Carolina in that classic area where the eugenics was going on at the end of the last century. At the end of the last war, rather, just afterwards. And he started telling classic tales that I've heard all over the world. Amazing tales of how they were taken away from the preschool he was at, and they were subjected to horrendous experiences of seeing rabbits cut up, of seeing babies sacrificed, of being forced to drink blood. And when he started remembering this, and talking about it, and the reason he's a bloody courageous kid is because what these people tell them as he and so many other courageous kids have confirmed, they tell them, if you tell anybody, including your parents, we are going to do this to you. Now, they've seen babies sacrificed. They've seen rabbits cut up in front of them alive. They believe it's going to happen to them if they speak out. They're also told, some of them, that their parents are involved. So you tell your parents, you're in real trouble. And so you've got kids all over the world who are living their little lives in terror of A, more abuse, and B, telling anybody about it because of what will happen to them if they do. And this is the structure which keeps it all quiet. And I tell you, I followed up this case in North Carolina. Do you know, it came to light in November. We are now in March. They have closed the case. And you know, the police have not even gone to that school center where he says it happened, and his mate, his little friend, is telling the same story in detail. They have not even gone and asked the other parents at that center if there is any experience they have had with their children that might lead them to believe their children have experienced anything like this. They just put the lid on, bang, bang, and left those two kids, and God knows how many more who are still there, to get on with their lives with those memories. It's not happening. Shut up. I don't want to face it. Nor do I, but if we don't, it goes on. And this links into this. Mind control is fundamental at the very heart of how the Illuminati have manipulated the human race. Mass mind control, creating the herd mentality, and other techniques I'll come to as the afternoon starts to move into the modern world. But after the break. But this is individual mind control. It's called trauma-based mind control. They found, and in the Nazi concentration camps where they had an endless supply of victims, people like Josef Mengele, the angel of death in the concentration camps, who after the war was brought to the Americas by a British and American intelligence operation called Operation Paperclip, and carried on his appalling genetic and mind control experiments in North America, not least at the China Lake Naval Weapons Center in California, and also very much in league with a guy called Ewan Cameron, who many Canadians will know, who was operating out of Montreal at the head of the notorious mind control project called MKUltra. That was created by the Nazis, who were brought out by people like Alan Dulles, the head of the CIA, the first head, and British intelligence, out of Nazi Germany to avoid the Nuremberg trials so they could continue where they left off in this part of the world. And what they discovered, and they've known this a long time, but the concentration camps gave them an opportunity to perfect it, is there's a mechanism of the mind which shuts out memories of extreme trauma. Therefore, when we have a bad road crash, we don't remember the horror of the impact because the mind puts an amnesic barrier around that memory. We can't remember it. Good thing. We don't want to keep remembering that stuff. But like everything, it can be used malevolently. And they realized that if you could systematically traumatize children, particularly before the age of 5 and 6, so you could rewire the brain and the neuron pathways, you could turn their minds into a honeycomb of self-contained amnesic barriers independently working by themselves and independent of each other. A honeycomb. And once you've created that honeycomb of amnesic barriers through putting people through a satanic stuff and this abuse that I'm talking about on this vast scale, you could then program these individual compartments of mind with things that you wanted them to do, assassinate people, whatever, or you could bring that compartment to the front of the mind. They would then experience sexual abuse by people like George Bush, one of the most famous pedophiles in the world, the proof of which and the evidence of which is more on him than anyone else. And they would feel and experience that abuse, and then you push that compartment back into the mind and you bring another one forward, and they do not remember being abused until they have the deprogramming which breaks down the compartments, and then suddenly, my God, they remember what they never remembered before. And this trauma-based mind control, which has created something called multiple personality disorder, which is not multiple personality at all, it's multiple fragments of amnesic barriers operating independently from each other. Every single amnesic part of the honeycomb thinks it's the whole mind. And this is how they create assassins. This is how they create these kids who go crazy with guns at Columbine High School and other places. Guys like Thomas Hamilton, who went crazy with a gun in Dunblane, killing all those kids in Scotland. People like Martin Bryant, who went crazy with a gun, killed some like 35 people in Port Arthur, Tasmania. And it's interesting, when you do the research, this mind control network is centered, here we go, in London, at a place called the Tavistock Institute and its network of offshoots. It was created by a guy called John Rawlings Rees out of the British military's psychological warfare department. And it set out to create an absolute explosion of mind-controlled people, which it could use to advance its agenda. Interestingly, Martin Bryant, one example, the guy that went crazy with a gun in Port Arthur, he was given psychological treatment and his future treatment decided by a guy called Dr. Eric Cunningham Dax. Only the Tavistock Institute's Australia representative and a close associate for decades of John Rawlings Rees that set the whole thing up. When Timothy McVeigh was arrested for the Oklahoma bomb, USA Today reported, though not with the significance, that he'd been given a mental assessment after his arrest by a guy called Dr. Lewis Jolyon West. Lewis Jolyon West, to anyone that's done any research into mind control in North America, is one of the most notorious CIA mind controllers operating out of the University of California. It was Lewis Jolyon West who was designated to give a mental assessment to Patty Hearst, the newspaper heiress, when she came out of that Symbionese Liberation terrorist group some years ago. This is how it's done. And we're watching a movie on the news of manipulation and manipulated mind-controlled people who are playing out a movie to get the reaction desired, which allows us to accept the agenda required. This is what's going on in front of our eyes, and this is why there's been so many efforts around the world to stop me standing here and saying it. Some of this brainwashing stuff and mind control stuff has actually gone into the mainstream media more recently. This guy, Sirhan Sirhan, when you look at the research, and I've read his psychological profile and his psychological report, this guy was in an absolute friggin' trance when he's supposed to have shot Bobby Kennedy when he was going to be on the campaign to be president of the United States in the late 60s. He's still in jail now, Sirhan Sirhan. They create these people because if you can create a lone nutter, no conspiracy, the whole thing can be swept away, lone nutter, ever so sad, terrible about John Lennon, wasn't it? Oh, JFK, what a terrible thing. Oh, Bobby Kennedy, what a terrible thing. Martin Luther King, oh my goodness, wasn't it terrible? And away you go. You don't start investigating who's really behind it when you've got a lone nutter who appears not to be the full picnic. Very famous people are involved in this stuff. This guy, Bob Hope, is a major slave owner, as they call them. He is, of course, he's getting well on in years now, so he's kind of being eased out of this. But through his life, he has been one of the people designated to look after and continue the abuse of mind-controlled slaves so the compartments hold and expand into more. This is the nature of what is going on in our world. And when we finish the next break, I'm going to go into the structure of what's happening today, how the day-to-day manipulation goes on, and then into what we can do about it. What can we do about it? A handful, almost literally at the top, of people can only control and manipulate 6 billion if we allow them to do it. It's time to stop. It's time to call enough. And we've got to get out of denial, and we've got to get out of our illusion that these things aren't happening. Because as Credo Mutwa said most brilliantly, while we ignore their happening, they just go on unchallenged. We have a wonderful opportunity here, our generations alive today, to leave this planet an immensely better place than the one we found. That's our gift. We've chosen to be here, and this is the time to do it. Thank you very much. The female voice, you know, when it's like that, unbelievable. Turn me up, I'm talking to myself. Just saying, that song's fantastic. I love her voice. Just kind of, it's that voice to die for. Can we turn the mic up? Is that possible? How am I doing? I've talked to myself twice now. Mike's in my shirt.
Best place for it.
Oh, it's come out. Do you know, my mother always used to say, Dave, if you never forget anything else, never let your dingle dangle. Never let your dingle dangle, she said.
And here I am letting myself down in Vancouver, I don't know.
Oh. I'll undo my shirt. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, I'll do a strip for money, and I won't do it for even more. You know what I mean? Because you've been eating. I don't want to put you off. Like, you know what I mean? We're going to talk a bit about politics now. You know where politics comes from? It comes from two words: poly meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures. You know what I mean? So. Can you hear me now? My dangle's not dangling in my dingle dangle thing. Yeah, great.
Great.
I love technology. I got a great friend, you know. I got a great friend who's into technology, a nice friend of mine. Nice guy. He rang me the other day. He said, look, I've invented a rocket, he said, to fly to the sun. I said, that was a bloody daft. I said, you can't fly to the sun. I said, the bloody thing will melt. He said, oh no, sir. He said, I've sorted that one out. He said, I'm going at night. What we're going to do now is look, because we've come a long way, and again, we're scratching the surface. There's so much to know, and the veil's lifting so fast. It's a great time to be alive. We're going to look at the way the story relates to what is happening in the world today, the agenda and the networks today. And this is the structure it seems that the world is designed to evolve into. And this is no longer, although it once was, a projection forward. I think this is what's going to happen. We are seeing this happen now in front of our eyes. The idea is for a world government and the movement to super states like the European Union and the evolution of NAFTA and APEC are designed to be one layer of that as we move towards centralization of power. And it's a very interesting reason, a very obvious reason, never mind interesting, why this is happening. If there is not many of you and you wish to manipulate billions, then diversity is your worst nightmare. The more that power and decision-making is decentralized, the more diversified it is, the more diversified the countries and the cultures are as we celebrate the diversity of human creativity and human form instead of scorning it and allowing that to be the divisions through which we're divided and ruled. It's your worst nightmare. If you're going to be a few controlling the very many, you have to do two things. You have to centralize power optimally on a global level, and you have to scorn diversity and create uniformity of culture. And that's precisely what we've been moving through this century. Under the world government, it's designed to be a world central bank, a world currency, which is designed to be electronic, not cash, for which there are fundamental implications for freedom. If you now go into a garage or a shop and you hand over electronic money and you put the credit card in, and they say, "Oh, sorry, you won't accept your credit card. Terribly sorry." But you've still got a choice while cash is in circulation, which is, well, better pay cash then. But what happens when there is no cash in circulation and the amount of actual stuff you can hold in your hand now compared with figures on a screen is a fraction and falling of the money in circulation? When that computer, or whoever programs it, says no to your credit card or your microchip is designed to move into, then it's deciding if, whether, what, where you purchase, because if it says no, there's no other form of purchase. That's the idea. Not efficiency, control. The World Army, I've been talking about this and writing about this for years, is designed to be NATO, fusing eventually into the UN peacekeeping force to become the World Army. NATO being the dominant force. And as I've said in books over the years, and other people have too, watch for conflicts in which NATO can be used as a peacekeeper out of its normal duties so that it sets the precedent of being the force which reacts to problems in any country. And because of Bosnia and because